Good morning. Try that again. Good morning. 7:49. Yeah, 7:49 a.m. What is this? This is Monday, August the 17th, 2026. Here on a blue sky morning. High plains east of the Rocky Mountains in Greeley, Colorado. A little high, thin cloudiness way off to the west over the mountains. Occasional little tiny puff of cloud here and there. But no cloud cover to speak of. And and the ambient temperature is like 64. And yet, when I get in the sun, it feels like 90. No, it doesn't. It feels like a very warm 64. Relatively quiet day yesterday. I don't have a lot on the agenda for today. I've got an Amazon order coming with some necessary supplies for the house, but I don't foresee any voyages beyond this walk. It's probably going to be as far as I get away from the house today, physically anyway. Not much on my mind that I really want to talk about. I'm thinking about writing, and if I were a new author right now, would I do anything different than I have? I'm sure I managed to mangle the grammar in that sentence, but I think you know what I mean. It's like, would I do anything differently now? Not knowing what I'd done before and being as dumb as I was. The doom and gloom is weird. The thing that seems to be lost in the tsunami of crap, AI edition, is that it's always been there. When you think about it, TradPub is people-driven AI.
Good morning.
Good morning. Publishing by consensus. Strip out all the things that might make it unique, keeping just enough to make it interesting to bookstore buyers in the hopes that bookstore owners can sell the books to readers. And there have never, ever been an awful lot of readers. I mean, go back a couple centuries, maybe, yeah, sure. Go back a century, perhaps. Before the advent of significant mass media, entertainment was a good night's sleep, I suspect. Half of Americans didn't read a book last year. I suspect the half that did only read something that was required reading in school. It's always been niche. It's always been niche. The key for me has always been marketing. Yes, I'm going to get on that horse. I'm going to get on that hobby horse again. And I'm going to rock for a while. Back and forth. All right, that's enough. But seriously, marketing. I'm trying to think. If I was going to give advice, which I always am willing to give advice, even when it's misguided and wrong. I think the advice for that readers, that writers get a lot. Readers don't, but writers do. Read widely and well. I'm not sure that's right. I suspect at one point it was. And there's nothing quite as instructive as reading some of the older works and trying to figure out why they were A, interesting at the time, and B, important now. It's an interesting conundrum.
Hi.
Well, good morning.
How are you?
Where's your friend?
I haven't put in
this. Oh, dear.
He got cancer, and it was just too far along. So it was hard.
I bet.
I miss him.
I bet.
You have a great day.
You too. It's good to see you. The lady I have seen most regularly over the years with her little Scotty dog. I should have realized that I had seen her a couple of times. I thought I had seen her a couple of times, but without the dog as an appendage, it was like, is that her? I couldn't tell, and we weren't close enough to really say. So oh, that sounds to be hard. I got cancer too, but luckily they didn't have to put me down. So, yeah, reading widely. No, I don't think so. I think one of the issues is that reading widely in the 60s was a very different experience than a reading widely now. I do think you do have to read a lot. Because the more you read, the better your brain absorbs the structure of stories, particularly the stories that work. The difficulty with stories that work is that it's really hard to see how they do it. It is really hard. to see how the author painted the compelling picture and animated it with the brutal and loving care of Quentin Tarantino. But it goes back, in this case, yes, I think for craft, yeah, you need to read a lot. You need to get a lot of advice so that you can ignore it. And I don't mean that. That comes across as a little bit facile. I don't mean, like, get it and ignore it, although I do. It's just that being able to pick and choose which pieces of it matter to you, to your process. I'm going to use the term art in its generic form, to your art. Yikes, that's bright. Holy crap. Let's see if I can find some shade here. But I think the key element has always been marketing. And the fact that as a self-published author, my marketing involves finding holes where TradPub wasn't, telling stories that TradPub couldn't because they were too offbeat, too off the track for them to be able to sell it to bookstores. Has always been TradPub's single largest weakness. Ah, shit. I changed my jeans this morning and didn't empty the pockets. Coming up on a Get Ready, Stay With Me, Monk Post. As a result, I'm missing some key pieces of equipment, like a tissue. Good morning. Love that hat.
Okay.
Big floppy outdoor. Wide brimmed. I don't know what they... There's a special name for them. I don't know what they are. It's not safari hat or something, but... Wide rim, short crown. Lanyard against the wind. So what brought this whole chain of thoughts together was I was thinking about writers who are proud that they don't read. And I'm like, they always confuse me. They always make, like, how the hell do you know what to write if you don't read what's already being written? Just assume you know what's being written so that you can write more like it. Is that how you do it? That way leads to failure, by the way. Or at least inhibits larger success. One of the things that I first determined when I thought, okay, I'm going to write science fiction. I'm going to write novels. Why novels? Because you can only sell a short story once. And you can't get very much for it. And it takes a lot of time. So short story, you get $250 for years, and maybe it's just $500 now, I don't know. But you only sell it once. So all I'm ever going to earn in that story is $500. So if I want to make $2,000 a month, which is not actually enough to live on, I need to write a short story. I need to write like 3 short stories a week in the hopes that one of them will sell every week. And I'm like, that doesn't seem very efficient. Leaning on my Bachelor of Science in Business Administration, there's a certain amount of production and efficiency there that just goes against my shopkeeper upkeeping brain. Shopkeeper upbringing brain. Did I say that right the first time? Blue collar piece worker brain. But if I self-publish novels, I can sell dozens. And they keep selling. Last month, my third highest selling book was Owner's Share. Which is really interesting because I'm not sure how that one rises to the top so often every month. The Wizard's Cat and the Wizard's Butler, they outshine everything that's older. Not surprising, the mature product, to use the marketing term. The mature product is never going to sell as well as the new and improved. But then I run into a problem. So I'm going to write novels. And with novels come series, because there's an ulterior motive to writing series. And if you write a series, then you only really need to sell a first book. You only really need somebody to buy the first book. And they have to like it enough to buy the second and the third, etc. And the advantage to that is somewhat mercenary, somewhat manipulative. Because if you didn't like book one, then you're probably not going to like book two. So if you left a bad review of book one, the probability of you leaving a bad review for book two is rather slim. So as the series evolves, matures, the audience comes along for the ride. And the audience self-selects to people who like the books. Now, it put baldly like that, it's weird, but it's what I read. And I really wanted to write the stories that I couldn't find. And that involves science fiction in a series. I did discover why trilogies are really popular with writers and with readers. When I wrote a 6-volume set, luckily the mechanics, sorry, garbage truck, it's trash day. Luckily the mechanics I chose for the first 6 books helped keep the stories changing up each time. Ishmael's responsibilities and problems were different. Once he was in the universe, marking the milestones that changed his his responsibility, his duties, his jobs became relatively straightforward. So there are different challenges at each level of his journey and how he rose or didn't to meet them. Anyway. So I had one last obstacle, and that was I can't out Weber David Weber. I can't out Ringo John Ringo. I can't out Boujold, Boujold. So I have to do something different. And that's where that initial idea was so important and has borne such persistent fruit. Writing a space opera that didn't have a navy, that didn't have a military as such. I mean, there is one, but it's in the background. Nobody could imagine that there would not be some military somewhere, some police force somewhere. But because I did not try to out Ringo, out Weber, out Boujold, but instead staked out a piece of turf that none of them had occupied. In large part because the filtering effect of the human-powered AI that is traditional publishing, that scrapes off all of the different ideas that are too different, that enforces the rules for things that have already been written. Because of that product differentiation, another marketing term, it paid off. Oh, good. My cat food is here. Anyway, that was a long ramble. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, let me see. Am I still recording? I am still recording. 23 minutes. It was a long ramble and I wasn't moving very fast. All right, well, be that as it may, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is a 3-day. But the day after isn't. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.